mystery and horror. The air itself is filled with monsters.
Children of the night, what music they make.
He's alive! He's alive!
Well, hello, all you monster fiends, and thank you for joining us for another deep dive factoid-filled episode exploring Hollywood's most famous monsters. I am your mistress of ceremonies, Sam, and I am joined, as always, by Dan from Bleeding Marvelous. Say hello, Dan.
This is my house.
I hear you sometimes. Hi, Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to a new, brand new episode of the Monsters Up North podcast. Oh, have we got a treat for you today?
Oh, you got something.
God, I think this is probably not only the funniest film we've ever done, but the worst. This is probably worse than Dolly Dearest.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and we will go into the reasons why.
Oh, will we just? So I'll get the disclaimer out of the way with, and then we're going to crack open this beauty of a movie.
Oh, God.
Everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on our Facebook pages. You can join the Nerdy Up North Discord or comment section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of nerdism.
Don't be a goblin dick. Dick. Don't be a dick. Dick.
Don't be a vegetarian goblin dick. Just don't fucking do it.
Definitely don't be one of those either. Jesus Christ.
Jesus wept. Oh my gosh. Okay. Troll 2 or Goblins is a 1990 independent dark fantasy horror written and directed by Claudio Fragasco under the pseudonym Drake Freud. It stars Michael Stevenson, George Hardy, Connie McFarlane, and Jason Wright, scoring an impressive 5% on Rotten Tomatoes as of 2014. There's nothing more frightening than a little boy's nightmare until it turns real, as Monsters Up North brings you Troll 2.
So good it didn't need a first one.
So good it didn't need a first movie. Holy shit, this film is something else. I remember my sister, I was like, I need something new to watch. I'm going through things that I've not seen before. And she went, you need to watch Troll 2. It was this. I know. It was this and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I watched on the same night. So, yeah. I couldn't stop laughing at this film, though. It was so funny. The premise of this movie is... I'm going to give it a good go. So this man from the city wants to be a farmer. So he trades with another family to go and tend their farm. And they go to a land called Nilbog, where they encounter vegetarian trolls who eat people, because apparently that's okay. Yeah, and also they're guided by their dead grandfather. And there's a witch in there who comes from Stonehenge.
And a dance routine. Don't forget the little dance routine.
Oh, my goodness. I I mean, we'll go through the film, obviously, but that is kind of the breakdown of this movie. The director himself, Claudio Claudio, Italian director, was told by the studio, because he did want to call it Goblin. It made so much sense, but he wanted to call it Goblin, and in a studio, probably an Italian studio, said, listen, let's ride on the back of Troll.
Yes, which is a movie that has absolutely nothing to do with this, by the way, so hence why it doesn't have an original.
Exactly. And they did it. That's why they changed the name to Troll 2. Even though it's got fuck all the two with Troll. Absolutely nothing to do with Troll 1. They are an Italian couple. Well, his wife got involved.
Yeah.
Obviously. So this Italian couple hire Americans. Bearing in mind they can't speak a lick of English.
No. When she was interviewed, she said that when she came up with the idea with her husband, all of her friends had just newly converted to this new thing called, you know, vegetarianism. So it was really an activist's stand on being an anti-vegetarian, right? So she said, I came up with a story about goblins who were vegetarians, because at that point in my life, I had many friends who become vegetarians, and it pissed me off. So as a revenge, she made a movie.
You got this. This is the revenge movie.
I am not seeing my friend. I hate my friends for being vegetarians in this movie.
It's more like I hit me. Like, it is so far out of that. It's unbelievable. How could you be mad at your friends for being vegetarian?
I know it was a relatively, like, not new thing, because there were people who just didn't eat meat, but I don't think it was like a...
Yeah.
It had like a big thing like now.
Yeah.
My
grandfather didn't eat meat at all.
Yeah, some people don't for reasons that can be health and that and stuff like that. But I think it finally gathered a bit of a name and towards the late 80s and it became a fad, because there was a lot of fads in the 80s. I'm not saying it's a fad now, I'm saying back then.
Oh, yeah.
On everything. It was like something came along and they'd hop on it until they'd used it for everything it was worth, and then they'd move on or eat a Greg sausage roll or whatever the options were. Baker's oven back then.
Baker's oven, my gosh. Yeah, he didn't like the taste of it. But I was exactly the same. That's why I was a vegetarian for many, 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 many years. About 10 years.
Goblin.
Secret goblin. I just didn't like it. Some things didn't agree with us, and then I went vegan, and then I got really sick, and then I just thought, I can't do this no more.
A lot of people meat. You know, there is a sickness that can come with being vegan, because you're depriving your body of X amount of stuff. But then each person's to their own, and live your life the way you choose.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't care.
I was vegan for 3.5 years, never made a fuss out of it at all. Never did the whole preachy, don't do this, me. No, never did that. A lot of people didn't even know I was vegan. But yeah, I was really sick. Like, you got to be a better eater than me. Like, I'm a child. Like, I still separate my food, for fuck's sake. So I am a child. Children can't do veganism.
So you need the green stuff on any of this food. The Play-Doh, no. Custard, Ecto, slime, cooler.
What the fuck was it?
On off milk, possibly custard that's green.
It's almost like they're trying to capitalize on Hook. You know, the food scene in Hook. And they go with that kind of what was it?
Apparently it was supposed to be plant matter, because the plant matter, right, now this isn't a spoiler because it's part of the film, when the goblins eat you, they feed you with this plant matter first, so it breaks down your meat and turns that into plant matter, because this makes sense, and then they can eat you because you're full of plant matter. You're no longer part full of meat. So hence the vegetarianism.
Science. Just science.
Bill Nighy, the science guy, would be having a mental breakdown.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, very different science from from this kind of science, but he would have an absolute heart attack. I couldn't get it. Was now you've explained that part, because I was like, you're clearly cannibals.
Well, this is the whole premise of this film. They are cannibals. They eat meat. They don't eat plant. Well, they might. It's the fact that they have to get their victims to have this mattery goop for them to taste right to them to eat them. It's like a, you know, they're fattening them up in a weird way, like they're making them tasty. They're like, you know, rolling them in sugar kind of thing, you know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So the whole cast that you see in this film, they all went for extra parts. And they ended up getting the main roles.
Yeah,
these people are not actors.
No, everybody that auditioned got a part. It was it's insane to me that, firstly, isn't the dad in real life, he's a dentist.
He's a dentist.
Yeah,
he's a dentist. However, on the so this is a fucking flop. This literally had 0% on Rotten Tomatoes until 2014, when a handful of people started to get a hold of it, and it became, it is technically a cult classic. Mm. And because of that, he was getting phone calls from conventions, and he was like, oh shit, what, people are actually interested in it. And he's taken up acting again. But he's not the worst part out of all of this.
To be fair, I don't think any of them were really bad actors. Credence, I'm on the fence.
But are you taking the piss? The mother was fucking terrible.
I'm telling you why I think this. I think it was because of the whole language issue.
Yeah.
The way the script was written. They sat Claudio down and they kept saying, can we ad-lib what you're trying to say? Can we turn it into American English? Can we? Because it doesn't make sense as you've written it. And he was like, no, no, no. No, no, Lemon Pledge. You do it my way. And I want it. I want it done this way. Oh, no, no, no.
No, no, no.
No, no. I want it done my way. So they had to do the script verbatim, hence why none of it makes sense.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Only got script pages. I think it was like a scene at a time. So for them, it was all disconnected. They didn't understand what was happening in the film. So they couldn't translate that in any of their acting work. Also, if none of them have really had lead roles before,
no,
they wouldn't be used to the filming schedule. They wouldn't be used to.
None of them are actors, apart from the witch. She's the only actress. The only actress. Yeah, 3 weeks. She's the only actress a part of it.
Which is surprising, because she's the only one I was on the fence about.
Really. Yeah, she's the only true actress. She sadly passed away 2017, I want to say.
Right.
If you go online and you're looking for these people, there's not a great deal about. There's a couple of them who have some Wikipedia stuff, but she didn't, which was quite sad, because she is the one who has the more movie credits than any of them. But there was an article that she'd sadly passed away, but she was doing the convention center for years, and she looked no different in the photo I saw of her in 2014 than what she did in that movie. She looked fantastic.
I think I'm going to, because she reminded me a lot of
go and see it.
Kate Bush.
Oh no, that's not who I was thinking of. She looked like Carrie Fisher.
There was like this thing about her, but it was like, we'll get to the scene I'm talking about when we get there.
Popcorn.
Ah, popcorn. No more popcorn.
No more.
But yeah, it was she was absolutely beautiful. She had that 80s natural glamour down. There was no, we're getting into the 90s, into the Baywatch Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
It was genuine. She was stunning. And the makeup, the way that they made her look prior to her getting her
glam on.
We'll get into how, I still don't understand how she got that. But
she just walked down the street and she looked like it. It's as simple as that. She just literally walked down the street and went, hey, it's a Stevie Nicks she looks like.
That's it. She walks. She come out of Centre Parks, is what it looked like.
Looked like a fucking caravan park.
She come out of Centre Parks down in Breaking Bad territory. You know,
fucking RVs everywhere.
Oh God! Honestly.
I don't think I'm gonna laugh as much in this episode as I thought. The Sleepaway Camp one was the worst, but no, this is just gonna kill me off.
Just
fucking
blitz corn on the cob, corn on the cob, corn on the cob.
What's she doing with that corn on the cob?
This was a question I'd put literally on here. What was she doing
with the corn on the cob? Oh, I hope people who are watching or listening to this that have actually seen this film, because
it
is.
You have to.
In your lifetime, you have to watch Troll 2 for the brilliantly terrible. It was when she was like, I am a druid from Stonehenge.
I was like, yeah, all right, love.
Why is Stonehenge in America to start with? And E, touch the stone.
It was the fact that the makeup, right? Now, the guy who did the makeup for her, believe it or not, the year after, the makeup guy was called Maurizio Tranini. He went on, he'd done Zombie Flesh Eaters before he did this, but then he went on to win or be nominated for a BAFTA for makeup. Because he did Cinema Paradiso.
Fuck off.
How do you go from Troll 2 to Cinema Paradiso and get nominated for a BAFTA for Best Makeup after you've seen the makeup on Troll 2?
Oh, my God. Did you find out who created the trolls?
I tried. Couldn't find a thing. The special effects guys that they have on there have no credits whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Or they have one or two and they're exactly the same. I wonder why.
That is some janky looking latex fucking Halloween horror mask.
My favorite description of one of them was, I was watching a YouTube video and I can't remember the name of the channel, but the guy basically counts sins in the film and he rates it on sins.
I know who he is. So he does a good sin and he does bad ones.
Yeah, and he was doing the sins of this movie and he gave them all good ones until the end when he put it back to zero because someone pissed him off. But he was saying that one of them looked like an undead Sam the Eagle from The Muppets.
He did. He did.
And it just stuck with me after that. I was like, oh God.
I can see him. It's also the one with the boggly eyes.
Yeah, that one with the long head and the
long
big
head and
eyes.
The big boggly eyes. You can clearly see, like, do you know on a Halloween mask, like a mm-hmm. rubber mask, and the eyes are like, you can see where all the rubber of the groove is and everything. Oh, I can't even like. There's a word for it, Dan. I don't think that's it.
The thing I do appreciate about this film, right, which is something that films just don't do, is that it went straight into the action. We never got any pre-trailers. You don't get any nonsense. It just goes straight into the film straight away with Peter skipping through the forest with his nice little hat on.
Well, yeah, because it's his grandfather. Should we just go in the film? Because I think it would be easier because, like, it's... Right, I'm going to try and do this without laughing. Let's try and do that. We're professional here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've interviewed movie directors before.
Yes, and we've also done this at them.
You fucking idiot. Do you want to tell the people what you did?
I embarrassed myself, as usual. It happens quite a lot. I randomly either blurt things out that just come out of nowhere, or I just wave like Forrest Gump and...
Hiya!
Yeah, basically, Neil Marshall was at Popcorn. Not the popcorn in this film, but the but the little convention. And he walked past and he looked and he smiled at me and I started going like this at him.
What are you doing?
Going into Ash from The Evil Dead, you know, it was just like... had an independent life of its own. So I shamed myself, but then I redeemed myself afterwards. I went and had a chat later, but still, I was just like... Oh dear, Danielle, if you could really just stop doing things like this, it would be great.
At least it'd be better than what I would have done, because I would have just started spewing shit or walked in the opposite direction. So at least you got that part out of the way with first before you went and had a talk with them.
There's still time. Next time I see him, I'll probably do something really stupid, so I won't worry about it.
I have a thing where I think I'll turn around and just go, remember me.
Sounds a bit ominous, doesn't it?
Right. Remember me, the person who couldn't get your girlfriend's character name right because he keeps mixing them up. That was me.
Hello.
Oh.
Right. Well, yes, we're professionals.
We really are. We've interviewed movie directors. We've had people on here. We know what we're doing.
You might.
This film starts with a dream sequence. The weirdest fucking dream sequence I have ever come across. It's about Michael. No, it's not. Michael is the dreamer.
Yeah, it's Peter.
Oh, can we just talk about the kid for a second? Annoying as shit. Not on the scale of the Babadook kid.
Yeah.
But very fucking close.
I will say Joshua had one of the most expressive mouths. The way he like was constantly like talking and he was enunciating, and it was giant. At one point, I was really quite impressed with the kid. I was like, you could fit your fist in there. It's like, you know, he had a big mouth.
Do you not think he's doing that to overcompensate to the fact that he is dealing with Italian directors who cannot speak English?
Yes. Because the over-enunciation.
Yeah.
Possibly at the age of, what, 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. He must have been my age when he filmed this, because this was filmed in 89. Mm-hmm. So he must be around my age somewhere. He must have been about 10 or 11 then.
Has to be.
So he must be around my age. So
he had a lot of dialogue.
Yeah. I've seen photos of him now, and you wouldn't know it was the same guy.
Oh.
You can see it,
mm-hmm.
but you wouldn't know.
Oh, it's the concentrate part. Really, really annoyed us. You need to concentrate.
Grandpa Seth,
rest in peace. He is actually dead.
Yeah, but I don't know where he was supposed to be. Was he a ghost? Was he not a ghost? Was Grandpa Seth? He died right in this movie.
Yeah.
Have a dream sequence.
Yeah.
And you have Peter skipping through the forest in his lederhosen and his little hat. And then he comes across this beautiful woman with the worst drawn-on freckles I have ever seen in my entire life.
Rosie and Jim came to mind.
It looked like someone flicked dirt in her face. It was just, it was terrible. And then, like, she's beguiling him with her womanly wiles and enchanting him, and she makes him eat something, some of the green stuff. She makes him drink some of the green stuff, the ecto-coolery custard milk.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he sees their goblins, and she's not a beautiful lady.
No. And then the green stuff starts coming out of his hair and in the weirdest way possible. Where in your head is that leaking from?
Apparently here.
Your hair follicles?
Yeah.
Because I could understand if it was coming out your eyes, if it was coming out your nose, coming out your mouth, coming out your ears. No, this is coming out your hair.
Yeah, it's coming out your hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely logical. Why are you questioning it? Movie magic.
You cannot fucking pull movie magic on this film. Not on this one. You can't. This is just down to pure fucking... I don't even know what it's down to.
No. I mean, you hear have Joshua, don't you, going, but Grandpa, they ate him, or don't tell me they ate him, or something. So you see him in the story, and then he snaps out of it, and then you go to a scene that they have blatantly ripped off of The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Grandpa in the chair, kid in the bed, no Fred Savage, no moly, but it's...
But there's a twist. Because Grandpa's not really there.
No, Grandpa's reading him this story about evil goblins that eat people. And I was like, well, that's not really a bedtime story for a kid of that age. But, you know, who am I?
We don't know.
I know nothing.
Nah. The twist is Grandpa's not really there.
Mum walks in and the rocking chair is just empty and moving by itself. And she doesn't even question. The fact that the rocking chair's moving. That woman. Did you notice that? I'd be like, what the fuck is going on there?
Yeah, I get that fucking burn it.
Throw it in the garden and set it on fire.
Fucking burn it. Her acting, oh my God. You get better GCSE drama performances than what you did out of Dan, the looks.
My favourite was the swallowing when she went, She couldn't even eat an apple properly, but you know.
Do you know who she reminded us of? And I did have to go and look to make sure it wasn't her. But you know the woman from American Horror Story? Oh, God, she's in all sorts. She's got a bit of a lazy eye.
Yeah, she was the maid in the first one. And then she was the ginger-haired crazy lady in which one. Yeah.
Fabulous, but yeah.
I can't think of her name, but I do know
but
it.
She reminded me so much of her. The look on, like, her face. And I was like, is it? Could it? And I was like, I'm gonna have to look. And it definitely, this is the only film she ever did.
Pretty much, understandably. For all these people. Yeah, pretty much for all these people. So,
understandably. So at this the father announces shortly after we've seen dead grandpa talking to the Joshua. Mm-hmm. The father announces that he wants to go to the country.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
He wants to be a farmer, and they're going to do a part exchange with another family who's going to come and live in their house, and they're going to go and live in their house, and he's going to see if country life suits him. Country hospitality. Eat it up!
Well, this is the thing, right? So they get in their car, and off they poop down the highway, and Joshua has a moment in the backseat where he has a nightmare about goblins.
And instantly and he fucking hates the place.
He turns into a tree in his nightmare. And like you can see the paper. Like they use A4 paper to make a stomach. And you can see the paper. It's the most terrible use of
makeup.
Household objects.
Yeah, and you can't even see a makeup for that one because it's not. But in the car, he instantly hates the place. And his mother's like, Joshua! Sing that song I really like. Row, row, row your boat.
Really like that one. It's my favourite.
Bust out some Van Halen or, you know, some fucking car music. No. Row, row, row your boat.
We're going with the classics. So
But she was so aggressive about it. Like, Joshua, sing that song.
Yeah, it was the weird conversation the dad had with the daughter, though, where he's going, just because your beau isn't coming. He's not my beau, he's my boyfriend. Who wrote this? Like, it's...
Also, why is it okay for her to be like, yeah, why don't you come down and stay with us? Well, my father would not allow that at that age.
I'm just going to move to the country with you because, you know, it's me or your friends.
Oh, my God, that was so annoying.
I was like, what the... Let's try a bit of, you know.
She was ready to give it. But she was ready to give it all up if his friends weren't there. Have a bit more fucking self-respect. My God,
I mean, ridiculous.
To be honest, she was very pretty, and she was very the time, like fashion wise and hairstyle. But you're very very pretty girl.
Yeah. Then Joshua has a meltdown and he needs to get out of the car because he sees his granddad's holding a big sign. So he gets out of the car. He gets out of the car because he convinces him he's going to throw up. Then he goes running up and has this conversation with what he thinks is his granddad. And then they pull up and they're like, get back in the car. No one gets out of the car. No one's
worried about him.
No one's worried about him being grabbed by weirdos or anything like that. And they're like, get in the car. Why are you talking to that man? And it's some transient gentleman. And
I would say hobo.
Well, yeah, and he goes, are you gonna give me a lift or not? And it was just like, he's like 9.
Yeah. why would you be asking a child to get in the car? So the word hospitality gets used a lot in this movie. I wonder if it's a word that they learned, that Americans like hospitality. I don't know.
I mean, it might be something that in Italian is held really dear, but
it does get used a lot. The hospitality here, the country hospitality. You don't piss on hospitality.
Oh, but he did. They come into the house, don't they? No food, right? Bear in mind, this is the thing that I don't get. They've got two suitcases on their roof. That's it. Two normal size suitcases for a family of four that are moving their entire life for a month or so, however long they're going there for, right?
Yeah.
They don't bring food, any kind of supplies in any which way. They're just walking into this person's house and presuming it's stocked.
They were lucky. Was. I know.
You can't, like...
We're from the UK.
Starvation. If you're that idiotic, you ain't bought your own food. You know, it's like...
That is true. That is true. But they do walk through the front door and country hospitality, eat it up!
I don't know what that stuff was, but you wouldn't catch me eating it. There's plates and plates and plates of corn on the cob with green stuff on it.
But can they see the green stuff?
No, this was the thing. I would think they must be able to, but then it would make sense if they didn't, because the way they were getting ready to tuck into it.
But Joshua could see it. Why is he so special? Just because he fucking talks through his dead granddad?
Well, his granddad read him the story, which then made him aware of goblins and what they do. So
his mind might be open to it.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing I can think of, because...
No idea. But Joshua's grandfather comes back, and while they're eating this disgusting food, and pauses the whole thing, because he has to get them to stop eating. And Grandpa, that pause is real.
Yeah. It's this, isn't it, where they're all going... Can't blink, can't do a single thing. And I'm thinking to myself, you could have at least thought that through as actors. You could have blinked at that one time or looked down, so you didn't have to put yourself in a position where you had to have your eyes open for several minutes and, you know, in a go.
And your eyes are starting to burn, and it's starting to fill up with water, and it's like, it's going to happen.
And the door is shaking with the corner on the cob to try and...
Yeah, hands are like so unstable. So how does Joshua stop them from eating?
Well, originally, he wasn't going to do that. Originally, he was supposed to... I've got this written down somewhere. No, I didn't write it down. He originally was supposed to do something else, like shout or scream or it was something very innocent, but enough to stop them from eating. But... apparently he got up on the chair and Claudio stopped, like, cut, and he went, right, what I want you to do is you climb up, you piss, good. And the kid looked at him and went, I beg your pardon? Did I just hear you right? And he was like, you piss on food, you know, kind of thing. And he was like, I have to actually do this? Because he's obviously, like, not an actor. So
yes, you do. He pisses on the food, because you don't piss on hospitality.
No.
It's one of my favourite lines, honestly. Out of, like, a lot of movies, this is one of my favourite lines, is, you don't piss on hospitality. I tell you what, boy, I don't get... He starts tightening his belt up. Mm-hmm. And you say, what are you going to do with that belt? I'm tightening my belt. If you want to go on a hunger strike, you be my guest, but I'm tightening my belt so I don't feel hungry.
Oh, honestly, it's like, well, then why didn't you bring your own fucking food? Go downstairs and eat it, mate.
Also, you've been a bit fucking dramatic.
Just a tad. Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
I mean, I would say pissing on the food was an extreme reaction.
I mean, I'd be fucking furious, but that's just me eating food. And if I'm hungry, I'm a nightmare. So when the family... So the boyfriend was meant to come.
Yes.
He didn't turn up, but he did come. Him and his friends in their RV did travel down. One of their friends being Arnold. Yeah. Oh, Arnold. If you've seen anything to do with Patrol 2, you have seen Arnold. You're probably not seen.
Oh my God!
They're going to eat her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh no. Great. But that'll be the scene that you've seen is Arnold and the worst delivery of a line. Like, there are some bad deliveries in this movie, but that by far is the funniest and the worst.
It's a clanger. It just clunks. It's so clunky.
The thing is, though, he really works with that paycheck. Because to him, they not being an actor, mm-hmm. that would have been Oscar performance for him.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's where he decides to go outside for a fag break out of the RV whilst they're all parked up on this outside Centre Parks. And then he sees this woman in a tattered shirt, green stuff on her face.
Fucking flailing herself around all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know. And he then starts to give chase to her, which I think is probably not a good idea when there's a woman running around screaming to chase her, because it's not really going to help anymore. But, you know, in this film, apparently it made sense. So he chases her and chases and catches up with her and then, wrestles her to the ground. And she starts going on about something. And then they look up and they're surrounded by goblins. And I was like, well, they thought they're quick.
It's the fact that he walks in the middle of them. Casual Charlie. And they're like... Hey guys, maybe I feel you should leave her alone. Yeah.
What's your problems, eh? With your little pitchforky nonsense. You know
how cute you are.
Pinching the cheek.
Oh my God, imagine if he did. Yeah, he literally walks in the middle of these goblins who she is absolutely hysterically scared of.
Yeah.
And it's fuck all to Arnold. It really is nothing until they go for him.
And then they run away. Now, bearing in mind, these goblins have tiny legs.
Oh, yeah.
They are vertically challenged humans. I am guessing they are dwarves dressed in the costumes. Or they could be children. To be honest with you, I don't know. I couldn't find any information with regards to the
actors. Nothing to do with... No.
So it could be kids. It could be small people. It could be... dwarves. I really don't know. But they can't run very fast, but they can teleport.
I think
wasn't sure if I hallucinated that somewhere along.
No, because if you think at the end where they go, queen's in trouble, bing, they're gone.
they do talk
through the non-existent mouth that they have. Because there's no cut in the mouth for
one of them has a cut in the mouth because he runs his dirty tongue out over his gross teeth.
I forgot about that.
Just one. They've let one breathe, and that's it.
Oh, so Arnold and this girl run away and they find a house that looks like Hansel and Gretel's already been there. But inside was it was very ye olde English.
Stonehenge. Wait, it looks like I've been there.
That's what Stonehenge looks like.
No.
Ye olde English house, oak bed, fucking big red velvet curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they encounter the Goblin Queen, Druid Witch, Credence, Lenore, Gilud.
I repeat, this is my house.
And I'm going to repeat her name one more time. The Queen, Druid, Witch, Credence, Lenore. I like Lenore. Gilud, who uses Stonehenge magic stone. It actually says Stonehenge magic stone.
So I'm guessing, right? She's a problem palace, by the way. She teleported one of Stonehenge's arches into her house. I'm guessing that's what's happened in this situation.
Who the fuck told the director that Stonehenge gives goblin powers to people?
That's what pagans are, aren't they? Goblins.
I'm 5'9".
I don't don't discriminate. They come in all sizes.
And apparently the goblins too. My God, yeah. It gives them goblin power. And she tricks the young lass to drink the green shit. And this is the performance of a lifetime from this girl, because she flails herself around. Do you know when someone tells you to fake die and you're like, she did it all around the house until she eventually got upstairs. She literally walked up the stairs and did it.
Turned it right up to 11, didn't she? And then she become this like big pile of mushy goo that they all started tucking into.
And that's when the line happens. Because he's frozen. Mm-hmm. He's like, Arnold can't move. And that's when he looks up. And he's like, they're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, no. I feel like every time we've done an impression of this film, we've acted it better than what they did.
Performance school, darling. Yes, we've had formal training.
I worked with the Royal Shakespeare Company, do you know?
I have a BTEC, thank you.
Me too.
And an A-level, but you know, I'm not bragging.
We have the same qualifications.
It's like one of these things where you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're going, questionable. Slightly
acting.
It's the face, isn't it? Her face is something that you can't really...
You can't mimic that. And you can't mimic it.
It's the sheer overacting this woman did. She couldn't even take it down a notch. Like, she was on from the minute they shouted to the minute they shout cut.
Yeah.
She was on, overacting, big eyes, very theatrical. She was like a Disney villain. Right up. And it,
yeah. She went and fucking ridiculous.
They made her look really old, and they tied her hair up in a bun, and they gave her like this really weird pale face and dark eyes, but then put like red, like makeup in the corners of her mouth.
It was almost like mold. That's it. Gives Beetlejuice vibes, in all honesty. Like the little green bits here, but like the makeup choice to start with, it's so Hansel and Gretel. But her costume was, it wasn't fit. So she had obviously an aesthetic in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't fit that aesthetic at all.
Pagan witch from Stonehenge was her aesthetic.
She just has a Stonehenge magic stone.
Mm-hmm.
Stonehenge magic stone.
Mm-hmm. It's all aesthetics. There'll be hundreds of them next week you watch. There'll be lots of Stonehenge druid pagan witches.
With Stonehenge magic stone. It's the Stonehenge magic stone I cannot get over. I understand that Stonehenge is quite like, it is a pagan symbol.
Yeah.
Not a symbol, but like more of a landmark, like because it's unexplained. You know, the solstice, they have the winter and the summer solstice, and even the autumn equinox, they were there for the autumn equinox, even though it absolutely pissed it down for them, and I felt so sorry.
Feeling of, apparently it feels like there's energy coming from it. And if you're that way inclined, if you are druid or pagan, you know, I understand that sort of thing is, you know, right up your alley, and that's perfectly fine. I'm not taking the mickey out of you. I want to make this very clear. I'm not here to mock someone's, I wouldn't even call it religion, because it's not. Being a druid or a pagan is a lifestyle. It is what you are in your very core. Yeah. But this isn't me taking the mickey out of you. This is me ripping this film to shreds, because she's not a
100%.
Druid. She is not pagan. She's just like a Victorian villain. You know, it's like...
Yeah, she looks like something more out of Sweeney Todd than she does of Practical Magic. absolutely not. If any of you know me personally, you know where my beliefs are and my spirituality is. And I am such a fucking moon... I wanted to say bitch, but like,
moon bitch.
It's honestly, it's one. I say it to my mother every year, should we do the summer solstice? And every year we'll go, yeah, we'll do it. And we end up fucking not doing it. And then we're like, wait, we'll go down the beach. and we'll do the summer solstice on the bit. We don't fucking do it. Because do you know what time the sun comes up on the summer solstice?
Oh,
that's when it starts to rise. But it's Stonehenge. There's a slate that's flat. And at a certain point, the sun sits directly on it. And it's such like, it's very much like a moment. But the winter one, it just, oh, it looks fantastic. Like everyone's camping out and getting warm and there's music constantly going. Nobody sleeps. But I'm too much of a pussy to go and do something in the cold.
Did you know you have to take a bus to Stonehenge?
I only know that because my friend went last year. And I was like, because I was interested on obviously her going there, and she was like, yeah, I had to get a bus there.
Yeah, I haven't actually been like up to it and touched it or anything like that. Me and Rob went to see my dad, and my dad lives in Bournemouth. And Stonehenge is kind of Gloucester way. And I'd mentioned to him that I'd never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been past there 1,000 times to go to Cornwall over the years, but I'd never seen Stonehenge. So we made a little detour. It was only like a 20-minute detour on the way to my dad's. And we pulled round and we stayed into a hotel that literally is the hotel next to Stonehenge. And terrible hotel, mind. But
is it?
Oh, it was horrible. But it did the trick, you know, in the middle of summer when it's 1,000,000 degrees and there's nowhere to eat food and there's nowhere to hide in the shade and there's no air con and there's no fans. And it was death for someone who's perimenopausal. But drove past it and you could see like this great big car park. And I said to Rob, what's that big car park there? And you can't, you know, I thought it would be nearer the site. My brain, I didn't quantify what I was looking at. And
yeah.
Then he saw all these coaches parked up. And then he started seeing them going down. And I said to Rob, really? And then as we came around the road, I went, oh, well, never mind. We can't see it from the road. It's not the end of the world. And as we pulled round, and we got a bit further down the road, you could see it across the hills. And it was a long way from the road.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this big, but you could see it and all the coaches going up to it. And I was like, yeah, that is, I bet that is beautiful up close.
I can only imagine. My cousin actually went and I didn't think this, she went to the summer solstice one. And I didn't think of this of her at all. Like this would be her thing, but no, she went with the kids, said it was absolutely magical. Would highly recommend doing it. Tyrone Day, because she had the hotel, she actually paid extra for a fancy hotel knowing she had to be awake for 24 hours. And then she then had the fancy hotel when she came out and slept for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Got her money's worth.
Yeah.
She said it was just so fantastic. This Stonehenge magic stone. Not just Stonehenge, stone, magic stone. So after this bit in the hall, oh my God, he starts to transform into a tree.
Yeah, now the point.
Why a tree?
I don't know. I think it was a premonition from Joshua's dream, wasn't it? Because Joshua turned into a tree. So maybe it was a premonition thing like nature, like they could eat him if he's a tree. I don't know. There's no reasoning behind it. He was just a tree.
For educational purposes, vegetarians don't eat trees.
Well, apparently they do in this film. I felt so sorry for the guy that played the Arnold. Though, did you hear he had to stand in that plant pot for 14 hours?
Oh, my God.
14 hours they had him. And because they'd screwed his shoes to the bottom of the plant pot to make sure he stayed static. And he had to be in that makeup and that position and that for 14 hours whilst they filmed all of that.
Wow.
So well, the kudos to that guy.
Well, the next morning, after the whole oh my God incident, Michael and Joshua venture into the town to buy some food. Eventually. Gonna go and get some food. Mm-hmm. And they are greeted by the town folk, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've just read me notes here. Joshua enters the local church and eavesdrops on a goblin church. Actually, I wrote some notes as I was watching it. This is before I fell asleep for the first time. I do this quite a lot. Typical country hospitality, let's dig in. The ghost of grandpa freezing them, LOL. You can't piss on hospitality. Let me give you some advice, little dwarfs. Get out of here or there will be trouble. That's right. What Arnold says to them while he's standing in the middle of them. Get out of here, little dwarfs.
It's the shop owner, right? The shop owner, the guy that, did you know, his name is Don Packard, I think is his real name, and he actually was going through a mental health crisis himself at that very time.
No.
He wasn't sure if what he was going through was real or not. Like, he was in the midst of some,
mental break.
Yeah. And he thought all he wanted to do was to kill the kid and get the kid, like Joshua in real life, and turn him into vegan mush so that all the goblins could eat him. And he never tried anything or anything like that, but interviews with him, like, years later, he was like, I couldn't separate reality. He went on to be in an institution for a little while after this film. And he was like, I couldn't separate reality from this film. Like, in my head, it made perfect sense. And I thought, well, you're the only person in this film, apart from the director, that made it feel like you could actually make perfect sense out of it. Because
I've tried for years.
Mm-hmm. There'd be no sense making out of this one.
Nah. This is when they meet the town folk. Is this where they offer them up ice cream? And Joshua won't eat it.
Yes, I think so. Like, all the townsfolk like surround Joshua. There's at one point Joshua gets his face grabbed through a hole in the floor. I don't know what that was about. Was that when he was eavesdropping on the church?
Yeah, and the goblin sermon.
Yeah, and then they try and force feed him. All the townsfolk try and force feed him ice cream, and they keep flitting in between goblins and people.
Yeah, like, that's right. See
both of them. And then the dad comes in and like, what's going on here? We're going to go home. And then he realizes that the people that were supposed to be in his house are in the room.
Yeah. They didn't actually go.
Yeah.
They just wanted them there.
I think they did go, but they came back.
Well, they like took one look at the place and went, no fucking goblins here. Let's leave.
There's no green stuff in this fridge.
Where is the green stuff? Let's just leave. Well, later on, the guys in the RV, if we can all remember them, which is the boyfriend of, realize they have no food. And that's when they go off to go and get, is it a green hamburger?
I really don't know what it is. One of them decides, the boyfriend has then gone off with the daughter, hasn't he, at this point? And so there's only two it's of just them left in the RV.
Yeah. That's right, because one of them stays in the RV, as we know, and the other one doesn't.
Goes jogging, yeah.
Yeah. So later Drew goes into town because there's no food or drinks in the RV. The sheriff, Gene Freak, takes him in the car and gives him a green hamburger. When he arrives in town, Drew goes to the store and the owner offers him a poison Nilbog. By the way, if you didn't know, Nilbog is goblin backwards.
Which Joshua discovers when he sees in the sign in the rear view mirror. Nilbog is goblin backwards.
And he's given some Nilbog milk, which makes him feel dizzy, and goes to a chapel and finds Arnold, who is now a tree.
I have to say though, that milk looked expired.
But yeah.
It looked lumpy.
It looked fucking vile. The whole thing looked vile. He tries to save his friend, who is a tree, but Credence appears with a chainsaw and cuts Arnold into pieces, killing him off screen.
It's her house.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She can do it. Cut the fucking tree down? She'll cut the fucking tree down.
Yeah, tree people.
Who decided to call her Credence?
Odd choice.
It's such a jokey, like, for us UK people, when it comes to, like, Yahoo and, like, Credence, like, that's a... I would associate that with a man.
Credence.
A male name.
Yeah, Credence for me is I associate it with a deep Cajun guy that lives in Florida on the bayou or
Lives with alligators.
Something. You know,
these alligators. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's kind of like the condition that we get given that name. It's yeah. Or you get Ezra Miller, and I'd rather not go to Ezra Miller with the Miller with a Credence.
Oh fuck yeah, that's his name and thingy, isn't it? Yeah. but Credence for a woman. I wonder if because they would have had to have looked into American culture.
Mm-hmm.
They just saw the name and went, yeah, Credence.
They had
it's
one
so weird.
They had one translator on set, and that was it. They had one of the makeup artists, actually, one of the not the one that went on and won or was nominated for a BAFTA, but one of them. She actually was. Now there was a selection of what we were known as skin flicks back in the 70s and 80s.
Oh shit! Yeah.
She was one of many, because there was a lot of these. Mm-hmm. There was everybody's dad of my age probably had this movie or one of the many movies, the Emmanuel movies. They were classed as soft porn, or they were skin flicks, weren't they?
Yeah, but it was very artsy fartsy. Like I've seen Emmanuel.
Running. Yeah.
Yeah.
Naked running.
But not so naked running.
Bo Derek, wasn't she one?
With
the plaited hair and the yeah, anyway, lots of that. And she the main makeup lady was one of the Emmanuels, and she'd done quite a few of the Emmanuel movies at that point. So yeah, so there was only one person that actually spoke English out of the whole of the Italian cast and crew, and she was something to do with wardrobe, so she had to translate every single acting that he had, and you know, for them and stuff like that, what he couldn't translate himself. And oh, can you imagine what a shit show that must have been?
Oh no, I can't. The poor, honestly, my heart goes out to her, because the director sounds like an absolute dick. Like he still fights to this day to say this movie is a fucking masterpiece. Even though he's definitely not dead. No, I checked that. I had to go and check who was dead. You know me. Like, I needed to know. So, yeah, Arnold chopped little pieces. Bye-bye, Arnold. Is that a program? No, hey, Arnold. at the house, the family are welcomed with a surprise party by the town folk to say sorry for the church incident. And this is where Josh is like, Grandpa! Come to me now.
And that's the bit I messaged you. I was like, Grandpa in the mirror is hilarious. Because all you see is this floating head going round in circles like this. And it's just like, what is that? What?
Well, which time? Because there's the one with Joshua and there's the one with her.
Oh, the one with Joshua. The one with Joshua was the one that really tickled me.
It's when with the one with the daughter, the granddaughter, after she's done the dance and everything.
Yeah.
And then he comes, it's like he almost goes,
If she's giving it the show goes in the mirror, and she's like, so you want to be with me or do you want to be with your friends? And she's giving this whole monologue about how she's going to be with her boyfriends, you know, and I'm like, oh dear. And then Grandpa pops up. Can you imagine? But attitude.
But it's the way Grandpa pops up. And I'm really sorry for people on audio who can't see it, but it literally is like a head dip and hello. and right there in your face.
Her reaction is very justified. She screams the house down. I have to
burn
say,
the house down.
Along with that chair. Yeah. yeah, it's crazy. And
needless to say, no one believes her.
No. And the time with Joshua, this time with Joshua, though, at the party, he gets told he has to go up to bed or something, because I don't know what happens. He gets put in his room for whatever reason. And he starts screaming for Grandpa in the mirror, doesn't he? And then the witch pops up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So Joshua attempts to make contact with his granddad.
Yeah.
Credence appears in goblin form through the mirror and attacks Josh. Seth then comes to save the day by chopping off her hand. That's right.
Yes.
With an axe. So Credence then returns to the chapel and has this transformation of her hand back to her. Why is it goopy? She had a very goopy hand as it reappeared. And this is where maybe it was the hand cutting off that kind of like went, oh, I need to shed this old lady look. Let's get my Stevie Nicks on.
I just want to ask a question. If you are a ghost a la Granddad Seth, right? If you are a ghost, how do you pick up an axe and cut off a hand of a goblin?
Movie magic.
Okie dokie, right. Okay.
I can't answer that. I really, unless Poltergeist goes. I mean, Baron Arendt, he did touch the stone as well.
He wasn't touching it. If you watch the film, he's like this.
Nowhere near it.
There's about a 7 mile gap between him and the fucking stone. But yeah, no, just I was like, okay. And this is where she gets a Stevie Nicks on and goes and visits the RV, isn't it?
Yeah, when she's walking down the street fucking brandishing her popcorn, her fucking corn on the cob, I should say.
This has to be one of the most, I can't even describe what this part of the film
it's weird. About.
It doesn't.
It does no, it doesn't bear any resemblance to what's just been happening. If she had gone in there. Yeah, but if she had gone in there and like fed him and then like he turned into a tree, yeah, I get that because she's just done that. But what she does is seduces a young boy with a fucking corn on the cob.
And then she would get arrested for what she did now. I'm pretty sure.
It's when it's so he's going, I like popcorn.
Oh,
and then all this popcorn just appears from nowhere, but you can clearly see that somebody is just flinging it at them.
It's the sexy little chanteuse up to him when he's sitting on the bed, right? Mm-hmm. She puts her leg up on the side. She's got one of these beautiful, like, flowy 70s, like, black V-neck dresses with a split up the side. And it is a beautiful dress. It's not gorgeous, overtly sexual. It's kind of hippie looking.
Mm-hmm.
But then you realise she's got a split on and she's got her sexy suspenders and her stockings on. And she pulls a cob out of somewhere. And, like, she keeps like, holding it. It's like this thing. It's like...
You want the corn on the cob?
And then she has a holster for it because she puts it in that thing.
Because who doesn't?
And then at one point, she's like waving it in his face. And I was like, right, okay, firstly, how old is that kid? Secondly, yeah. How old is she? Because... this next bit, I don't care. There was no actual physical, like, lip contact. This felt worse.
Yeah.
Than watching them kiss. This felt
She so... practically dry humped him on the RV bed while popcorn was being flung off them.
It was the corn on the cob. They're both eating it from each angle at the same time. And I was like, oh, no.
I blanked that out my memory there for a second until it came storming back in.
And that's the bit I think she would get arrested for today.
That bit.
If this is the thing, right? If she went to eat corn, because that's what I'm going to call it. She went to eat corn with this guy, right?
Yeah.
Surely in the land of things that would make sense, it would make her youthful.
But yeah,
she walks
yes.
out of there and she gets really old all of a sudden. So
instantly,
I'm like,
instantly
she
turns
all of her
back
powers to... with her magic corn on the cob.
But why is she giving them popcorn?
All of why the corn on the cob turns into popcorn, doesn't
but
it?
But why? What's the point? Because he ends it. She doesn't hurt him. He actually ends up awake later on and just goes, no more popcorn.
Apparently, they had a lot in Centre Park set to get rid of. You know, for breaking.
Oh, no, it would have been fucking steel, man.
I don't understand any of that scene, and it is so strange. And, like, it has no place, and it is verging on the P. Diddy freak off. Because I can guarantee you some shit like that's gone down at one of those, allegedly. But
allegedly,
yeah,
at the moment,
it's that was. It was emotional.
It was fucking something. Right, this is where things get a little bit hazy for me.
Yeah.
So during the party, Seth and Joshua try to cause a distraction with a Molotov cocktail, but the priest captures them and takes the cocktail and recites a spell that banishes Seth's soul to hell.
Yes.
Go on.
They've managed to get all the goblins outside at this point, but they're not goblin, they're goblin people. Yeah, they're in their people form.
But before Seth goes, he manages to summon a bolt of lightning in the sky, which ignites the cocktail and kills the priest.
Of course it does.
Because he could be that fucking precise. Who is he, Zeus? Is that what they're trying to tell me?
He's a poltergeist ghost.
Slash Zeus. Slash Greek god.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he kills the priest. Michael extinguishes the corpse. And his true goblin form is revealed. So yes, they are just people at the party. Mm-hmm. But it's a goblin on the floor. And then Michael starts to freak the fuck out. And this is where the town folk turn on them.
Yeah, and they're all in the house at this point then, aren't they? Overacting through the window.
It's almost very Night of the Living Dead, where the people are outside and they're inside. Yeah. And it's the fact that he goes, there's a bag of food here and it better be eaten.
Yeah. And then throws it like you should be setting it on fire on the doorstep. Like, what do they call them? The shit parcels that they
set like the bag of shit. Yeah. And they all just stand outside waiting for them to... Not nobody has gone to come get this bag, by the way. So they know they're not going to fucking eat it. So, yeah, they're waiting outside. Like, you know, it is so Night of the Living Dead.
It's like, I don't think you're actually understanding that they won't eat that stuff, but they're all standing there just staring at them through the window.
What got me? They go into the house, they walk into the house, but the next scene they're running to the next room. Where are you running to? Where have you run from? You walked into the house.
It's a hell of an edit. This is where I can't think of her name. The daughter decides to suggest a seance to get Grandpa back. Now, bear in mind, Grandpa's just been banished
to hell. Why is Grandpa going to hell?
And why does the Lord Lucifer decide to let him up every now and again to have a chat with his grandkid?
But why is he in hell? What did Grandpa do?
That's a big question. I'm going for... I want to say some sort of homicide. I'd like to mix it up. He killed his wife. He killed grandma. I don't know. There's something. There's some level of...
I didn't even pick up on that. Like, what the fuck did grandpa do? What did grandpa do? That's the question of Monsters Up North tonight. What did grandpa do to deserve to be in fucking hell?
Answers below, please.
Yeah, answers in the comments. Yeah, what did grandpa do? What did grandpa do? It's Holly. She decides to hold a seance to get grandpa back. And holy shit. Concentrate. You need to concentrate. Why aren't you concentrating? Because I've got some fucking kid going, concentrate. That's all I can fucking think about.
Concentrating because this is bullshit. So that's
did you see the mum's face though when you said concentrate and she's going like,
yeah, holding her breath.
That's how you concentrate. Oh. Yeah. He doesn't come back.
I don't blame him. I'll be honest. I'll be like, no.
Where are we? Because it goes pretty quick from here, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I don't remember how we get from here to Credence's house. This is the bit that my brain can't remember.
Okay. I actually do have the whole plot point here. So Joshua Elliot, Holly, Joshua Elliot. Who the fuck's Elliot?
Is that the boyfriend?
Holly, Michael, boyfriend. It must be. And Diane hold a seance to communicate with Seth, who returns from the dead and informs them he does actually come back, that he can't retain a physical form for 10 minutes. Very precise. 10 minutes before he must return to the afterlife. Seth gives...
I was just going to say, right, but what they do at that moment where he says, I can only come back for 10 minutes, I'll be gone at 6. The clock's 5:02.
Yes! So you haven't got 10 minutes, friend. You've got 5. Yes, I noticed that. I was like...
Someone can't tell the time. I'm using your digital Casio clock, watch too many times.
Seth gives Joshua a paper bag containing a secret weapon, and only to use it when you know when to use it. Yeah.
Bearing in mind, what is this, day 2 of them not eating?
Yeah,
they've not eaten in the best part of 48 hours.
My blood sugar would be on the fucking bottom. I would be a I'd be raging. You think them town folk are going to scare me when I'm hungry? Fuck no.
And at this point, Holly's already been fasting for 2 days, as she's informed us for no reason whatsoever somewhere in the film already.
Couldn't give a shit, Holly. Didn't care. Didn't ask. So the goblins break into the house, the people outside, and transport Joshua to Credence's chapel.
Yeah.
Where Joshua opens the bag, revealing a double decker bologna sandwich. Stay with me, people. He eats a sandwich, making his body poisonous to the goblins. He then touches the Stonehenge Stone of Magic, along with his family and Elliot, which destroy Credence and all the goblins present. It was a bologna sandwich that saved the fucking day. You look like you have questions. I don't think I've got the answers for you.
Weird Al sung a song about bologna.
My bologna.
Yeah, I just can't with this. This bit was just like, it happened, like you say, really, really quickly. And you're like, why are they touching the stone? What has that got to do with anything? Was it zapping her power? What was it doing? I don't really understand the benefit of them holding the stone.
Absolutely. Fuck all.
I thought so.
I am trying so hard to keep it together right now because all I want to do is wet myself laughing. My eyes are watering. Like, I am. Yeah. It's not finished yet, by the way, people.
No. Oh, no. Just when you think you're safe.
Just when you think you're safe and the family goes home, Josh's mom, eats food from the refrigerator.
They managed to get home to their house.
Yeah, they're in their house, so you think all is safe. But who went to their house? Who stayed in their house? The goblin people. And they poisoned the food. And Joshua walks in on a group of goblins eating the body of his now dead mother, who offer him a bite as he screams in horror. The end.
I want to say two things about this scene.
Yeah.
Firstly, whoever did that body cavity, hats off to you, unless that was an actual live model. It might have been. I don't know.
I don't know what we all know what Americans are like with the dead. They have used them in films. It is cheaper. It is more reliable.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was a cadaver, or it could have even been a model. It could have even been the bird that played Emmanuel, for all I know. No information on it whatsoever.
I don't know when it comes to Italians and their movie sets.
They are free people. And secondly, I thought they all just died.
No. No.
Did they just transport themselves somewhere then? The goblins? Yes. Or did they not get them all? Or they must have got...
Well, the family was in. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because the family, the goblins come and they're the ones that eat. I don't know. There's a lot of I don't knows when it comes to this move. I just don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I don't know why Stonehenge's magic stone fucking henge stone is there. It makes it. I get my power from Stonehenge magic stone. Right? But all they did was touch it. So are they getting your power? Or. How are they taking your power away from you by touching your powers? I don't.
And where? Why? Why in between the stones was there this glowing magical light? I can safely say from having driven past Stonehenge, there was no glowing magical light coming between the arches. Maybe it's get up close. Maybe it's a mirage.
Maybe that's what happens at the solstice. You know what I mean? It's like maybe there's a time when. The big glowing light come. It's not, by the way, because of the fucking sun that's coming out. Oh my gosh, this movie is. It's you have to see it. I know we've sat and laughed our asses off throughout the whole thing, but you really have to see this to believe it.
It is so discombobulated and disconnected in every way. Like I said before, because of the actors not having. Anybody who knows how they film movies, they don't film them in a linear fashion, like how we see a movie start, middle, end. Yeah. You know, they don't film a film in that linear
sequence. It's very rare, unless it's kind of like a period piece where they're trying to... It's a really rare thing that they do that.
Yeah.
Not on this one.
On this one, they were given, like I said, they were given scenes at a time. One scene in the morning would be from the beginning of the film, and then the scene would be in the afternoon for the end of the film. So they didn't know what the bleeding hell happened, because they had no concept of what was actually supposed to be happening, much like anybody who watches this film. But this movie had a budget.
What?
This movie had a budget. Now, some company or Claudio, what? Somebody managed to raise $100,000 in 1990 to make this film.
What?
How? Passed, because it went straight to DVD, straight to VHS, should I say.
Yeah.
It went straight to VHS, so there was no box office. There was no way of claiming the money back unless it was purely for on VHS sales. Now, it was released in 92 on VHS, or 90, no, Christmas of 91, sorry, on VHS.
Oh, what a lovely Christmas present that would have been.
It was, because that was the first time Joshua saw it in real life, the guy Michael who played him. His parents bought it for him in 1991 when it came out on VHS for him to watch, and that was the first time he saw the film. They then re-released it on like a special edition in 1998 on VHS. Yeah. And then nothing. Faded out of existence until, like you say, 2014-ish.
It started to, because it's one of those movies where people are like, did I see this? Did I not? And then
I imagine it.
Yeah. And if you watch any list on, and then I know we bring this up a lot, but any list that's on, you know, the Into the Darkness and stuff of that nature, this will always come up. Like this, along with Sleepaway Camp, and you know, the movies of that kind of ridiculousness.
Yeah,
this will always come up, and it is always the scene with Arnold. And it kind of like got a bit of a reset, like a let's have a look at this. The director, Claudio, is still angry about the film's poor reception. He crashed a cast reunion Q&A and was escorted out of the room as he heckled the cast from the hallway, calling them liars and dogs.
I mean, choices there. I mean, you made yourself look like a complete fool.
I tell you what, I'm gonna give some props to good old Claudio, because he stood by it. He owned it.
He really did.
And I am about people owning their shit.
But to believe in it to the point of where it is now hailed. Delusion. This film. Well, yeah. this film is now hailed, and it won an award for being the best worst movie ever. This is what it has been coined as, the best worst movie ever. I mean, that's a title. I'd be proud. Because
not even Plan 9 has that title.
No. And this movie rated 0 up until it rated 5.
5.
Rotten Tomatoes. It rated 0. That is an achievement.
Yeah.
In itself.
So I saw that it had 5% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. And I was like, ah, no, when I watched this, like, I'm sure there was something about that. So I had to go and find out. And it was 2014 is when this started to resurface again. And that is how it has the score it has today.
Yeah, and it got campaigned to be put onto Blu-ray and DVD. I don't know whether it managed to get put on or not, but it's
available. Not that I looked.
No, I didn't look. I mean, I know it's on streaming, so you can go see it on, what'd you say, Prime, wasn't it?
It's on Prime, yeah. Which
I saw it on YouTube as well, so it's available there.
Every week I sit down at my telly to watch the film that we need to watch, and every time it is a fucking Spanish copy. So I thought to myself, no, go and get your laptop. Just cut the middleman out, go and get your laptop, because you'll find it on there, no problem. I literally typed Troll 2 in the Google search. It's on Prime. I went, motherfucker, slam your laptop down. I was like, of course it is. The one time I don't go and check.
The weird thing about this movie as well was when it was released on VHS in 91, it features artwork consisting of a little boy with what looks to be a troll doll being chased down a dark corridor by a werewolf brandishing an axe.
I've got this written down.
What in God's? I mean, I don't know what film I was watching.
But firstly, none of it's in it.
There's no fucking werewolf.
And no.
I mean, there's an axe.
Here's to give you some perspective on the Oh My God scene and how famous it is now. It was viewed on YouTube over 7.1 million times as of February 2020.
Oh my God.
Don't get us wrong, I will be using that for the promotion of this episode.
Hey, yeah. Capitalize.
But this also, oh, sorry, go on.
Did you know that the trailer for the film, when you watch it, consists of cut scenes, and not one of the scenes in the trailer made it into the film?
No, I didn't actually. Yeah.
So for me, take heed, please, trailer people of the world, because I don't want to see an entire movie in a trailer and then go and see it in the cinema that when you've spoiled everything that's going to happen. Do something like this. Use scenes that we don't see in the movie that aren't plot point specific. I think this was a fantastic idea, whether it was intentional or budgetary or just purely him being...
No idea.
...making the trailer before he actually edited the movie. I don't know.
I mean, they didn't give a shit about continuity because one of the actors had a yellow T-shirt on with a logo on it.
Yeah.
And he lost the T-shirt. To where they just went, we can't reshoot, you're just going to have to buy another yellow T-shirt, which didn't look anything like the first yellow T-shirt that didn't have... So they could... And it was literally like, he moves to the right with the T-shirt with the symbol on, he moves to the left, the T-shirt with the symbol is gone. And Claudio still puts this down as a fucking work of art.
I mean, I will stand by the fact that it's definitely a work of something.
Yeah. This is what I mean. You've got to see it. You have to see it in your lifetime. You saw Troll 2.
I genuinely thought I'd seen this film.
Yeah, no. You were convinced.
I was convinced I'd seen it. No. 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 This is a fever dream, this film. Mm-hmm. It feels like you've hallucinated for the last, I don't know, hour and a half.
And it's come alive right in front of your eyes.
I remember pausing it at one point, turning around to Rob and went, what the hell am I watching?
Anthony didn't even bother walking in.
And he went, what are you watching? I went, Troll 2, so good they never made a first one.
It's a true story. It's so good they didn't make a first one. No, like I said, you've got to experience it.
But we've got to talk about the elephant in the room. There was no trolls in Troll 2.
No, because the fucking goblins.
They wanted to call it goblins, but the studio wouldn't let them call it goblins. So
they give them the idea to ride off the back of Troll,
yeah. Right? Which had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with this. It's got any trolls in it.
Just a ruin it, the experience with, they're all goblins. You've got to see the makeup work on the goblins just to see it. Wow. Like,
we're talking about Timu specials here. We are in the land.
Yeah. It's not just Wish now. We're going to Timu. Like,
we've dropped it down a peg.
Yep, massively. I'm so pleased we got to cover Troll 2. Like, I didn't know I didn't think that you might go for it. I know it was on the list, but I thought it'd be something you'd kind of like push back a bit and push back a bit.
I'm always happy to do movies I haven't seen, because my problem is, and this isn't like an egotistical thing, this isn't me being a show off, because I know it can come across that way when I say I've met people and things like that, and it's never meant in that way. It's just,
oh fuck no,
that's my life. But yeah, it was just I've seen so many freaking films. TV is my friend. TV is my life. TV is what I've made my business out of, you know.
Yeah,
my love of films, my love of TV, my love of horror. So you get to a point where you're like, okay, we're going to cover this film. Oh, I've seen that about 100 times, but you're good, because then you think to yourself, well, okay, I get to go into it a bit more, yeah, and learn things about it. So that's fine. But when one comes across that, I think to myself, oh, that sounds familiar. I don't really remember it, but I'm sure I've seen it. And then you watch it and you realize you haven't seen it. Like, it's The Blob for me. It will always come back to Shawnee Smith in The Blob, 1988. And to this day, that was the best choice we ever made.
The best choice. And it really, I know we bang on about this all the time, but it really did. It made us look at movies differently of what we were. We could have gone down such a commercial route this year. Mm-hmm. We could have gone for easy pickings, you know, watchable movie like that people are going to tune in for, but we didn't. We've taken risks. This is a huge one.
Something.
it's definitely something. But no, and it's nice for me that this is a film I'd seen and you haven't.
Which is rare.
It's so rare. I'm taking this one. Like, I'm fucking grabbing a hold of this one and like, yes. I thoroughly enjoyed tonight. It's been, I didn't think I could laugh more in an episode than I did on Sleepaway Camp, because trying to describe Sleepaway Camp to the people was a hard one to do.
I think Credence and Angela's aunt went to the same acting school, but I'm just going to put that out there.
Oh no, the aunt from Sleepaway Camp, something fucking special. Like, she took acting to a whole new level. Like, at least Credence at some point, kind of like, even if she was trying to seduce someone with corn in the cob, that is a true story, people. Like, she did actually do that.
I'm gonna have to find that scene now and put it out on video.
Do you know what? When I was looking at this, I was like, there's so many fucking TikTok videos that are coming out of this one. Like, so many. But I think we'll put Troll 2 to bed. Done and dusted. Kippers and custard. Do you want to tell us what's happening next week, Dan?
Well, next week's a bit different. We're doing something a little different. We are going to have a general chat about all things horror, movies, what we love, what we hate. And our guest will be Mr. Neil Hibbert. You may know him from mainly For the Love of Horror Live. Him and Ben Fenlon both do the shows together. And Neil has kindly agreed to come on and chat
all things spooky, all things ooky, and yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know where else to go with that one. Spooky, ooky.
What you just kooky. Said, that'll do. All things Neil. He's going to talk about
all things Neil. Yeah, we're gonna have a general chit-chat. We're heading into the spooky season. We have some corker of episodes 40 years for the spooky season. I ain't going to give any away.
No.
I'm not doing that. Because then that means I have to start creating posts for it. And fuck no. I've got enough to do. Nice. Yeah, so next week is a sit-down talk with Neil all about spooky, spooky, kooky.
For the love of horror and movies and things.
Because we are heading into the flow of horror time. It's the horror community's Christmas. It's,
as you can see by the bags, getting heavier and heavier and heavier under my because I'm getting more stressed out.
You'll know when For the Love of Horror is being done and dusted with, because Dan will be a completely new person. The stress of that will all have been washed away.
Yeah, there's a lot going on which I'm still not allowed to talk about. So,
but when she does, people,
we'll be
sharing the shit out of it. also, it's such a trying time for Dan, because what you got to appreciate is, like, Full of Horror is incredibly busy for Dan, not just the actual day itself, the lead up to it, incredibly busy. She gets that over with, she takes a deep breath, and then the worst fucking time of her life comes up because Christmas is round the corner.
Stop. Why?
There's a reason we take a break in December.
Why you hate me so? I just...
There's a reason we take a break in December.
Because I come a hermit. That's why. Because I just decide to retreat.
You fucking deserve it though, man.
Like, I retreat and I hibernate for that month so that it can just pass by.
I don't, because I have other projects on. So
I'm like a bear. I'm just going to just feed me things and throw things in my...
Feed me.
my cave every now and again. Yeah, no, that's cool.
I was going to start singing, but I can't.
See me, Seymour.
Feel me all that long. I'm going to have to stop. So we're on YouTube every Monday at 8 o'clock. Audio listeners, you can hear us every Tuesday along with every other episode of the Nerdy North podcast. The links for Bleeding Marvelous, Monsters Up North, and Nerdy Up North are where, Dan?
Down there with the goblins and Grandpa Seth. They're down there.
Also in the comments, I really, really want to know what it's Grandpa Seth do. Please remember, if you're on YouTube, to like, share, subscribe. Share this episode with your friends. Share it with your grandpas. Maybe they have an answer as to why Seth went to hell. We don't know. You hit the notification bell.
Why Grandpa Seth had a bologna sandwich, but carry on.
Why? We've got a lot of questions and we need answers, and we're really hoping that our viewership can do that for us. If you can do a solid, that would be massive. Also, hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode of treasures like this. Mm-hmm. Yep, we'll see you next week. But is there anything else? Have I done it all? Did I do it all? Okay, well, if there's nothing else left to say, say goodbye, Dan.
Good night, my flower.
Stay spooky, everyone. Bye.